NASCAR on Prime is gearing up for the tricky triangle at Pocono. After 5 decades of racing tradition, it's clear that strategy is king at Pocono. 3 legendary turns, 3 unique approaches. Who will tame the triangle this year? Don't miss the Cup Series at Pocono, streaming Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. NASCAR, it's on Prime.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship Podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello there.
Hello Devin. So it is a Friday midday. We're on a time constraint based off of your son's nap time. So
that's right. This could be 20 minutes. This could be an hour. We'll see.
Let's pack it. Yeah, we missed last week. I guess you were working the Orioles game, and the week before we put it out. An early one on a Monday or a Tuesday.
It was early, but late. I don't know.
Yeah, so we're kind of like in between, but it's good to be back. And I'm recording, obviously, from the studio where my stuff is set up. My in-laws will be in town tomorrow night, and they'll be living in this room for 10 days. So we may miss next week also.
You got room in that room?
In the studio, yeah. It'll be two twin-size air mattresses or something like that, or queen-size. So it should be fine here. We'll move the table around and adjust some things. But, it's going to be a bedroom for the next 10 days until the end of the month. So we might miss next week. But what do you got for us today, Dev?
I was going to say, before I do that, you're getting them back for the spooky times you had to sleep in their house. Now you're putting them right near the attic door entrance.
Yeah.
Hello?
Doesn't even close all the way. It like stays open a crack.
Oh,
like,
man.
Telltale heart.
That's the worst. A dark crack.
A dark crack.
All right, here we go. Death by 1,000 cuts. Short but sweet.
Death by 1,000 cuts.
Famous quote, or not quote really, just a, it's, you know, it's
a saying or whatever.
A saying. Yeah. You know, obviously. Yeah. Apparently it was originally a like Chinese torture method.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what actually, I would assume.
Slow slicing someone.
Right. Death by 1,000 cuts.
But then it means just like things going wrong little by little. Like you could say it in like the failure of a business. You know, right. Why'd it fail? I don't know, death by 1,000 cuts. You know,
right, lots of little things amounting
to
lots
of little things built up. I was thinking of it because of buying a new truck. Or a new truck to me.
Transition between old truck and new truck.
Yeah. Because dealing with used car salesmen is just like, ugh. It's just, they're knocking you down little by little. They're just tiring you out, you know?
Yeah.
With bullshit.
Right. Yeah.
It's just like, how much bullshit can you take and still just keep asking questions and keep pushing back a little bit, like keeping it friendly, but also trying to figure out what the hell's going on and why this is that. And it's such a strange thing. It almost makes you want to buy new, but I mean a new I got a Tacoma. So a new Tacoma, not only are they a different truck now, they're generation 4 now, but you know, I don't know, for a TRD off-road, I think it's like 55 or 60. Like, crazy. Dang. For a mid-sized truck, I mean, it's insane. You could get, in their defense, you could get a normal two-door with a, you know, a little extended cab.
Right.
For probably cheaper, five grand cheaper, but...
Yeah, still, you know, 50 grand still, or yeah, close to 50 is crazy. Yeah.
It's nuts. But I did find one I wanted or I liked. So I got a 22 Tacoma TRD off-road with, it's got the little bed, but still, it's better than nothing. The longer beds, which are, the longest they come is 6, so it's not like you can get an 8.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But, they're just hard to come by, you know?
Yeah, so... And you got the four-door, right? Mm-hmm. Like a crew cab or whatever it's called. Yeah.
So the four-door is even harder to come by. You know, you can get the two-door with a 6 a little bit easier. Right.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't extend it much more.
Right,
but the
right.
four-door with the longer bed, it's just rare. So.
Yeah, and having two young kids, like, you need the space for family and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you're sacrificing, like, usability as far as, like, you know, functionality of the of a truck bed for functionality right. of the interior of the, and also having the truck bed. So it's like,
yeah,
the trade
which
off.
Is yeah. you know, 99% of the time I'm using as a kids transporter, me transporter.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And then maybe not 99, but, you know, 95 every, you know, and then use it once a month or something as an actual truck and
right.
do stuff I need to do. And but even then, you know, I can get lumber in the back. I can get stuff in the back. I can,
right.
you can put the tailgate down and it's past 6 feet. You know, it's just all a bunch of stuff. You just have to strap it down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, if you really want to utilize the bed of a truck, it's got to be a full size. It's got to be an 8 foot, you know? I mean, like, you can, like, obviously you can get, like, I have a Dodge Ram 1500 and, it's got a 6 foot bed or six, whatever, almost 6.5 or something like that. But even that is like, I can't put a 2x4, 8 foot 2x4 in that without sticking it out. You know, I can't put a sheet of plywood in it without it sticking out, you know? So it's you just have to deal with it. It's just the trade-off. And, like, I prefer a long bed. My F-150 that I had was a long bed, and it was great, you know. But
I had that old tan Silverado.
Yeah, right.
That was a full 8 foot bed with just no extended cab on the back. You know, it was just straight up old school truck. That was sweet.
Right. Yeah, that's so. Yeah, what I have is the extended cab. So it's like the two normal doors and two fold back doors, and then you get that back seat, which is what I've had all along. Because same thing, you know, I got the F-150 when Corinne was younger, and so I still needed somewhere to put her in the back, you know, a family of three, so plus dogs and stuff. So
yeah, so
nice.
Yeah, we'll see. No, I'm happy with it. It's a cool color. Got that Lunar Rock kind of gray green. So that was
that's
nice.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
I was gonna get a blue one, and it was one of those things where I like saw it. Everything else was great with the blue one.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those things where you didn't love the color, but you didn't hate it. So you kind of, like I said, I got worn down. That was like the fourth place we'd been to.
Yeah.
And finally, it was like a good one, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like everything was working out.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing, the reason I didn't buy it that day was we're in Pennsylvania, and that specific dealership didn't take out-of-state checks. So we were going to put, you know, money down and just write whoever a check, and they didn't do it.
Huh.
So I was like, all right, well, you know, we'll come by Monday. Like, all right. Like, it was actually all planned. Like, cool, let's... Yeah, everything's good. They were friendly. They were better than the first place we went to, which were... terrible. If you're in Maryland, don't go to Jerry's on Joppa Road.
Oh man.
Not
Jerry's. That's like a staple though, man. That's like a Maryland staple. All the Jerry's, like Jerry Chevrolet, Jerry's Toyota, like Jerry's.
Yeah, you know, forever. They don't get big by not selling a lot of cars.
Mm-hmm.
By having morals, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
They get big because they sold cars no matter what, and a lot of them. So there's a few issues with the first one, and actually it was that gray color, just straight gray, and it was a sport, so it had the scoop, so it was pretty cool looking. But for me, I didn't mind either sport or off-road.
Right, right.
And in reality, off-road has, it's a better value.
Is it?
Because you get upgraded shocks. You get rear locking differential. That's if you were off-roading. You could, you know, a bunch of stuff to help. It gets, there's this a pretty cool crawl mode.
Oh, yeah.
That you just set it, and it kind of does this, like, special thing where you're just, like, holding, you're just going straight and it's going real slow, and it'll crawl for you. Or it's, like, an automatic out-of-sand button.
Oh, cool.
Which I've seen, like, you know, I was watching YouTube videos, and I was like, this shit really work? And it was, like, people buried all the way down to the belly of the truck. And it just, like, gunk, 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 gunk. It just moves, like, in these little weird movements, and slowly, after like 20 seconds, it pulls itself slowly out of sand. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for a truck, like, I feel like off-road, if you're going to get a package, like if it's going to be a sport or off-road, I'd rather go with off-road, right? Because that's a truck is designed to be able to, like, if you're pulling something or you're trying to tow like a big log out of the woods or something, or you're, you know, pulling a, you know, I don't know, a boat trailer or something, or out of like even your backyard, which has like just a small slope, but it's soft ground. So, you know, you need like good four-wheel drive and good crawl modes and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's, it's got some like that stuff. Like, but either way, I didn't really mind either way. Cause in reality, I'm not taking it off road.
Right. Yeah.
It's too expensive of a truck for me to just be like, all right, let's go on out and see what we can do. Like, no.
Right.
Maybe if there was like a super green trail somewhere, you know, real easy, no rocks, just like some mud and dirt, I'd do it. But I'm not.
Does it have it doesn't have like a compressor built in, does it, like for tires and stuff?
Mm-mm, no.
Oh, okay. It's not that. Because I know some vehicles do, like especially if they have like the sand mode, you know, they'll have like a compressor built into
You can just
the engine.
No,
bay,
it's
can
fill up.
Yeah.
No, but it's nice. And this generation of Tacomas are the last with an actual V6. They don't make them anymore. So it's like the simple, naturally aspirated V6 is like they just don't do it anymore. At least Toyota doesn't. So
right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm happy with it.
Nice.
I'll have it well into my 40s, so I better like
so
it.
So you're a Toyota guy now.
Yeah. Hey, I love Toyota. I mean, I love it from our just RAV4.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm older now. I want a dependent vehicle, and Toyotas, they look good, too. So, you know,
they do.
You know,
yeah.
Tacomas are cool looking. So, like, it's for midsize. I think it's the best midsize looking truck. So,
yeah, I've been looking, kind of keep my eye open for a new truck just to, like, it's to the point where, like, we paid off the Nissan Rogue. And so, like, now it's, you know, time probably to invest in a more reliable truck. Cause like, you know, my truck is fine for, it's fine for getting around town and stuff and for short commutes. But anytime I'm thinking about going anywhere further than like an hour, I'm like, is it worth it to take the truck? Right. You know, like we're actually driving tomorrow over to my in-laws' house in West Virginia to help them unload their truck. They're moving from Vermont down to West Virginia where they have a house there too. And so that's why they'll be here in the studio with us or at our house for the next 10 days, because there's a person renting their house in West Virginia currently, and they have until the end of the month. So until the 30th.
You can park their caravan next to your house?
No, they're going to, they're moving they have a U-Haul and they're moving down. They're putting everything. They have a big garage on the property.
Because I saw that. I did. So. I saw their flotilla they had there. And I was I wonder where they're going to put all that. Are they just going to pull it up next to Dustin's place or in the yard? Yeah. Or?
Well, we have a plenty big parking lot next to us.
That's true. Whether people would want you to do it or not. I mean.
Yeah. Well, I talked to our neighbor, Bill and, or Bob, sorry. And he's, I was like, hey, my in-laws are going to be in town. They're going to be, you know, parking over here if that's okay. He's like, yeah, it's fine. Sure. He's like, if you have friends over, that's fine too. He's like, it's a big enough parking lot. All I need is a couple spots up here. So,
oh, that's nice. But, that's nice to know.
Yeah. He's always like been really cool about that. But yeah, so we're going to drive them over and meet them over there. And then they actually have some furniture that they're bringing down from their house in Vermont that we're taking that, you know, things that we wanted. So, we got to drive the truck over to load it up. And even that, even going over like, that's like 2.5 hours, which is, you know, not that big of a deal. And the truck will be fine, but it's just like, there's just a worry in my mind, you know? It's like, well,
it's an old truck. It's over 20.
Yeah, it's an old truck, you know?
How old is it? 25 years old?
It's a 2001. Yeah, so 24 years old.
Sheesh. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it still runs and
right.
I mean, runs pretty well, yeah. And I just keep oil and coolant around, and you know, like
yeah, that's keep always an ear the thing. Out for yeah, stuff. You wanna, yeah. That's where I mean, my last truck was a big upgrade. I've never had a $20,000 vehicle.
Right.
And that's how much the F-150 was. And but because it was already older, because I got it when it was 12, 13 years old.
Right.
Then it did have issues. Then I just paid more and more and more on top of it. You know, then by the end, I had, you know, I probably put 8 more into it. Mm-hmm. You know? Then you're like, yeah. Oh, now I'm buying almost a $30,000. Then you're like, well, then maybe we should, you know, you start yeah, thinking right, like,
exactly.
Yeah. I'd rather just pay the money and not have the hassles,
right.
You know, if you can swing it. And, I mean, Caitlin was cool with it. So I was like, all right, we'll spend the money. We'll make the payments.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. If you can afford the payments.
She's more of a person who would, it stresses her out more to have something that could go wrong at any time than a higher payment.
Right.
Even, you know, we can make the payments. That's fine. But it's like, she's like, well, let's just have a payment. And deal with that, and not because you can spread that out, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
When you get hit with those $4,000 or $5,000 hits, those always hurt.
Right. Exactly. It's much easier to budget something consistent than it is to, than to try to figure out how to pay for, you know, a big chunk of money at the last minute.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, oh, yeah. I'm back on the road. I'm a man again.
You got your truck again, and it's I do like the Tacoma because it's It has that kind of mid-sized truck, like, fuel, you know, efficiency and stuff, but it also doesn't look like a small truck, you know? Like, as a big guy, if I'm going to have a truck, I want, like, a big truck, you know? And I feel like the Tacoma's fine, you know? Like, I wouldn't mind a Tacoma because it's, like, feels big enough, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't, it's not, and it, you know, I fit in it good. I you know, I tried a bunch of the trucks, and we're taller, and actually we're, it was right on the edge of being too short, but I was like, oh, I'm not sure. But then he like, there's a button on the chair, you know, that slides it down, you know, lower.
Okay.
So it's nice. And I think actually if it had the sunroof in it, that might be, that brings it down like another 2 inches. I think it would hit my head, but, it actually, I fit in real nice and comfortable in it. So it's,
nice. Those tall torsos. You gotta take that into account.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah. Truck's done. Or we get the, I got the truck now and been nice. Having fun having a modern vehicle. It's nice.
Yeah. Right on. Sweet. Yeah. Well, speaking of costs, my shop started leaking yesterday during the rainstorm. I don't know if it was probably already leaking a little bit, but it was leaking pretty heavily yesterday. Fortunately, it's like against one of the far walls that I'm not currently using. So I had to like dig my way in there, just make sure the stuff that was against that wall wasn't getting too wet. But, I don't know. I got to get up in that attic portion of the shop and then I got to take a look and see what's up there. Cause I kind of stood up on my workbench and looked up there with my flashlight. And I, you know, from what I could see, I couldn't really see anything, you know, it wasn't like a big hole that I could see up in the top, you know, so I could kind of see down. So I'm thinking it's somewhere over closer to the edge and I don't know. I just need to get up there. Although, you know, for the shop, I'm not worried about that. I'll just buy, you know, a couple packs of, asphalt shingles and then I'll patch it, you know?
Yeah.
Just like lift them up, slide them under, patch in the new patch of shingles and call it a day, which I'm happy to do. But, you know, it's just another thing. I'm like, just like getting, you know, we're just working on the bench video and, the workbench is now done and against the wall. And, you know, I'm like, yes, it's nice. Awesome. Now I can just arrange things and start working in there. But now it's like, okay, there's another thing, you know, but that's okay. You know, it's, at least it's the shop and not the house. Like the house is fine. You know, our roof here is, I think they're probably the same age, but there's just the rafters and stuff in the above the shop are not the same, like, you know, quality as a house rafter. They're just kind of smaller and stuff. So I'm thinking maybe that there was like some hole or something or some, leak in the roof and the whatever underlayment and stuff is probably just not as high quality as a normal roof. So it's just kind of softened up and, you know, finally let go. Which, of course, it's like, you know, that's been sitting vacant for the last, like 10 years. And,
right.
And didn't look like it had any water damage as far as I could tell when I was, you know, checking it out. But it's also hard to tell because, you know, it can sit dry for, you know, like, whatever, you know, 4 or 5 days and then everything dries out and it looks fine. You know, you're like, oh, okay, well, everything's right. Good. So
yeah, well, if you can't figure it out, you can always call Guy's dad.
Ah, right.
He still has a kind of half handyman, half roof service.
Okay.
He'll give you a deal, I'm sure. At least he won't screw you. That's
right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, if I can find where it's leaking and then I can just patch it. Like I'm confident I've done enough like hobbyist roofing with asphalt shingles to know that I can like pull up some stuff, put down a few new layers, tuck them up in and just make sure they're all overlapped in a way that will, you know, shed water. And like, again, it's the shed. So I'm not really, the workshop, I'm not really worried about it being pretty, you know, right. I mean, it's still the outside of our house. So I get the same color shingles, but like if there's weak spots in the like roofing underlayment, I'm not worried about that. I could patch them or I could just leave them weak and just patch, you know, just put over it with asphalt shingles or something, you know, I can put a patch in. So it's not an issue of having it look pretty, but yeah, I'm super excited. We just finished the video shooting the majority of the video for the new workbench in the shop, which is the first video in the new shop, or I guess technically the second video, because we did the little fan short, which is fun. but yeah, so first video in the shop, and it's fun. So we started a couple weeks ago, and we just shot like the intro, and kind of I had the space ready. And then on Monday, I guess it was on Monday, I think, or Sunday or something, we shot the... like the beginning of the building. So I got all the wood and then we built the main body of the table, the workbench, and then the top, and put that all together, and then finished up last night. But just those days, like those 4 or 5 days in between building the workbench, the majority of the workbench, and then finishing the video last night, I was like just so itching to get in there and like build it and finish it and get it all ready. It's like I'm just like dying to have that space usable, and it's like so it was so close, you know. It's like took everything in me not to just finish the project without you there.
I did it,
but it was fine because it was like enough little things that I could do, like putting in the leveling feet and doing like the little pieces of wood and the bottom bench and stuff. So it kind of kept me busy without being like gotta get going.
Keep you occupied a little bit.
Yeah, right. But no, it's fun. It's beautiful. I'm super excited to have it, and I need to do some like the little finishing and then put stuff up on it and get it dirty a little bit so it's not so clean, so I can like feel better about working on it.
Have you thought about? Yeah. I know you said you want to, for the top, you want to do some type of something protective.
Yeah, like
top.
An oil, like a poly or something.
Would you want to paint the legs or anything? Or maybe even, you know, put some oil on that or some stain on any of it?
I don't know.
To make it blend in with kind of the old look of the rest of it?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I could... I don't know. I mean, I don't want to.
It's almost like,
you know, it's like, it seems pointless, but I'd see like, it. Yeah, right. Yeah, it would protect it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think probably not, but I think once I get tools on it and once I get things underneath, then it's going to just blend in, you know, it'll be fine. And once I start working on it, you know, it'll get everything there. So really it'll just be the top that'll be pretty like clean and new. But everything else will be kind of hidden with stuff on the bottom shelf and stuff up on the two top shelves, which is really nice. I'm excited to have that second shelf because I crammed a lot of stuff on that shelf above the last workbench. And it was really nice to have it all there. Like that, like first order of retrieval where everything is right there close to you. That is really like important to a workflow in a shop. And so like, setting up the new shop and thinking, okay, I can do a second shelf above. That means I can have like lots of stuff there that would have in the past been like tucked away or in bins or on other shelves around the shop. And having that like extra accessibility for extra things up on that top shelf. I'm excited about. Like, it's just nice to have those things right in front of you.
More and,
like,
wood shelves. More wood planes that will get dusted.
More wood planes. Yeah, exactly. I have a whole shelf, just the top shelf's all wood hand planes.
Nice. I'll use two of these in 1 year.
Hey, you know, whatever.
Hey, I like to look at them.
I do, yeah. And yeah, I've also, fair. Like, it's I have them around, so, you know, because I've also, like, I'll restore them and give them away and stuff, so. But, you know, some of those things. I do need to figure out how I'm going to display and store all the axes. I figure out where that's going.
Oh, we talked a little bit about that, trying to get a little bit more of a, yeah, maybe just one of those panels.
Yeah.
You right. know, one of the in between the joists can be something cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. I have to, like, figure out how I want to do that, because, you know, I've seen different ways. I've seen people just, you know, just put a bunch of nails on the wall and just hang the axes on the axe heads on nails, and I could do something like that. Or, you know, for all my finished axes, I'd like to have I'd like to have them accessible. You know, I don't know, we'll see. Yeah, but I gotta, like, figure out a way to mount them safe and then also have them, you know, displayed or put up somewhere. Because, like, in the, you know, the last shop, we had all the low rafters, so I was able to, like, put all axes and axe handles and stuff up in the rafters, which was nice. So I'll have to figure out another system like that. I don't know. I'm consistently thinking about maybe lowering a part of the like, roof or the ceiling area in a portion of the shop, so maybe against the side wall or something, bring a lowered portion down, like a foot or foot and a half or something, so I have, like, this kind of upper storage, because I have the ladder and ladders in there, which I'll need to figure out how I want to store those. And yeah, but then, like, maybe having, like, a little bit of an overhead storage for the handles or whatnot. I'm not exactly sure. So.
Right, maybe it could just be above your bench or just on that one side, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just have that drop down 2 feet. So you have all your clamps right there and your whatever saws, whatever you want to hang there.
Right, things.
And then the rest of it, you can still have the full height.
Right.
For all the, you know, whatever tall stuff. Like you said, you can just fit the 8 foot sheets.
Yeah.
Right, and if it's kind of up above that, the main new bench, you know, you're not going to be standing up stuff above that anyway, because you can't.
Right. Right.
So that's exactly. that's not like lost real estate.
Right. And that's also a space that's not, it doesn't overlap with the garage door.
Right.
So I can actually extend the whole 8 foot. So yeah, maybe that space. I was thinking about there, and also I was thinking about maybe above the middle bench, right? But for the same thought that if it's right above one of the benches, I'm not going to be working tall in that space, you know, not particularly tall. Although I do, with bow making and using the tillering tree, that was one of the problems that I had in the last shop, is that the top of the tillering tree went up right up to the top of the rafters. So, like, the bow was right up against the rafters. So I am thinking about having that as a space that's not as tall. Although I could, you know, kind of put somewhere, like, something like that in the shop somewhere else that I can hook it on permanently.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. But it's fun. It's fun to, like, have all the possibilities, you know, like, I love the idea of setting up a shop and, you know, and going from one shop to another. It's like a little bit different alignment, so I can kind of, like, you know, use some of the things, the tactics and the setup that I had in the last shop, but a little bit different in the new shop, just for the, because it's more square rather than long rectangle.
Right. Once you get that done, I mean, next, I guess you're going to have to build a lean-to or something.
Yeah. So I got to build the smithy off the back. And I want that to be, I'm thinking 12 by 16, either 12 by 16 or 10 by 16. So the last one was it 10 by 8, I think, or maybe it was, I can't remember exactly, but you know, a little bit extra space I think would be good. So, and I'm thinking about, like, material that I can buy in, like, lengths, right? I can get 12 foot 2x6s. So I can have that extending off the back of the shop. And then the 16 wide will be, you know, I'll have a center, instead of having just like four corner posts, I'll have six posts. So two on either end and then two in the center as well. So I'll get a center post, but then that I can do, you know, two 8 foot 2x6s across the front and the back.
Yeah.
So that'll give me like the main frame, and then all the, I can do 12 foot 2x4s for the rafters, which should be fine. Maybe I have to do, maybe I'll have to do 10 foot and then a 12 foot overhang. That gives me an overhang in the front. So maybe it's 10x16 with a 12 foot roof. That might be okay. But yeah, so I'm thinking about like building that. So it'll, it'll be basically built the same way that the last one was. So we'll pour all the footings and in the sonotube and get concrete and put them in, and then and build up a little like kind of wall around it, and then get a load of stone and stuff and just pour it in. Have a little stone floor. I'm excited to get that there, so that way I can like build that, so then I can move stuff out of the shop.
Right. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just getting that room out there, and that'll also like, that'll allow me to do other stuff. Like I kind of was thinking maybe on one side of it, I leave myself a little bit of room to park the lawnmower or something, or I'm not exactly sure, but having that out there, having like the, I have the coal forge. So I want to get that up and built, you know, that'll take some room. And then, yeah. And then, you know, the normal forge and the anvils and everything, get those all set up out there. And I have a drill press, like a blacksmith hand crank drill press that I want to set up and get that going. One that Chris Cash gave us. So, there's some stuff that I'd like to, you know, once I get the new smithy built, I'd like to kind of rearrange how, you know, reorganize how that's set up too. Because I like the setup of the old smithy, but it worked well for that shape, you know. So having the two anvils is always nice. And but, you know, getting a setup in a new orientation and then trying to figure out how I want, what I want to do with the propane forge and the coal forge and then multiple anvils and some type of table and drill press and all that stuff. So, and then, but also figuring out how to contain it all, because I don't want it to be.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Just left open. I want to build some walls around it. So they'll probably be pretty simple, you know, like beadboard walls or something like that, you know, so cheap kind of exterior wood, and then I'll just paint it white like the shop or you know, something. We'll see.
Yeah.
But no, I'm excited. I'm excited to have it out there, and I'm excited to like just continue to, you know, expand on the shop and the, you know, the usefulness of it, and having fun building stuff and putting stuff together and then making it a new space to work. It's exciting.
Cool. Yeah. I think it, it'll be a good spot.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, I'm on summer break now. So as of Monday was our last day. I actually went in on Tuesday because with the design build project that I've talked about on the podcast, with us making the concrete the concrete ends and the wood benches and all, the last week of school was like a super push. So the Friday before school ended. So the Friday before the last week, we poured all the concrete molds that we had built. So that's the two ends of each bench, plus like little in between separators and stuff. And so it was probably, I think it was, yeah, what I did, I have you guess the price of the 10 buckets of gravel?
No.
We bought 10 5-gallon buckets of gravel from like a concrete place specifically. They're actually a place that makes all of the concrete steps for Baltimore City. Mm-hmm. They're out on Pulaski Highway. So we like went in there. I went and, you know, we had the buckets and we're like, okay, we went, I think it was 9 or 10. I forget. Maybe it was nine buckets, 9 5-gallon buckets filled with, white gravel. So they had like a white stone gravel that we wanted. And so we went in, you know, and we're like, okay, like this is what we want. And they're like, all right, well, it's, you know, it's not going to be very expensive. And so he rung it up and he was like, all right, that'll be $6.52 or something. It was nice. Like nothing for 9 5-gallon, because they're used to like, they sell it in
truck, you know, loads.
Bucket loads. Yeah, right. Exactly. Where it's like 30 right. or 40 bucks or something for a yard.
Or, right. Know? Yeah.
Yeah. They just like fill up a bucket loader and jump it into your truck. Yeah, so.
It's definitely, once you get over a certain poundage, it's like, yeah. You got to get away from like Home Depot and then just
right
another use for exactly. a truck. I just poured in the back and
yeah. So that was cool. So we got the 9 buckets of gravel and we had, I think it was like 7 buckets of white sand and then 2 or 2.5 bags of Portland cement. So concrete is a mix of cement and then an aggregate. So the Portland cement, which is it's Portland cement is like the type of cement. So there's like Lehigh, which is a concrete, you know, company up in Pennsylvania. They do concrete and stuff, but Portland cement is not like, it's not as in like not a company name. It's an actual product name. Like they call Portland cement because of the somewhere Portland, Pennsylvania or something where it was designed or whatever invented. And so cement is like ground limestone. Uh-huh. So, and it might have something else. I can't remember exactly, but basically it's like a ground limestone. And then concrete is cement plus the aggregate, whether that's sand or gravel or whatever it is, right? When you add those things together and you mix them, that's what makes concrete. So we had a couple bags of cement and buckets of sand, buckets of gravel, and we rented a concrete mixer and poured all that concrete in one day on the Friday before the last week of school. So yeah. Like started in the morning, started mixing, started pouring all day long, poured all of our molds, got everything mixed and poured. And then the following week, the Monday, we broke all the molds open. And then over the week we cleaned the mold, cleaned all the concrete parts and, you know, like fixed some stuff. And we got all of, on Tuesday, we got all the wood delivered. So we got thermally modified red oak. So the process of thermal modifying is kind of like, it's like kiln drying, but like super kiln drying. So you extra dry it and it bakes all the, like all the water out, but then it bakes all the sugar out of the wood as well, which is what like causes rot and beetles and you know, like organic matter and stuff to rot is the extra sugars in wood. So when you buy like, you know, a normal piece of lumber from Home Depot or whatever, it's been kiln dried, but thermally modified is like they put it under a lot more pressure and heat. So it does it a lot quicker, but so it's like makes it a lot more dense and then completely dry. And it's supposed to be good for like 40 years outside without anything, you know, just nice. By itself, it could last like 40 years. But we ended up putting a coat of like, a poly, some type of like exterior oil based polyurethane over it as well. So that'll give it an extra 40 years or something. But, it was really beautiful cause it went from like normal red oak color, which is kind of that warm, you know, reddish brown, light reddish brown to like a dark, almost like a, you know, like a darker leather look, you know, or like, I'm trying to think like what that color is, just like a dark brown. So they were this beautiful, like dark brown, almost like walnut, but a little warmer. So like a warmer walnut.
Okay.
And because it's like cooked under pressure and heated, it also, when you cut it, it smells like a firewood. You know, it smells like burnt firewood almost. It was like as we were cutting it all up. So we cut everything to size, prepped everything, drilled all of our holes, and then throughout the week up until Friday, we took everything over, you know, leaned everything over onto flat carts and stuff, because each of those ends of those benches were a couple hundred pounds a piece. So we got everything over to the park and in place. We poured some concrete footers the days before and got everything over there. So it's all done except for the one of the bench. So both of the benches and all the things we're going to make for the park are all kind of monster themed. So we're doing these like friendly monsters. We like painted footprints on the sidewalks and stuff. So we're adding things in to kind of give the park a placemaking feel, you know, like, oh, that's the monster park, you know, where the monster benches are.
Right.
So one of the benches has, it's like two concrete ends and then a wooden bench in between. The concrete ends are two monsters and their mouths are open and the bench rests inside their mouths on both sides. And then they have these like eye stalks that are wiggly with 6-inch sphere eyes off the top of them. And so we got everything except for the eyes poured because we were 3D printing the molds for the eyes, just these like, you know, sphere molds with kind of indentations where irises and stuff are.
Yeah.
And so throughout the week, we like first started trying to 3D print it on like Monday, and we set it Monday night, and then we came in on Tuesday morning and like it hadn't finished because you know, the spool had messed up. So then we like started printing throughout the day and we finished one of them, and then we started the next one the next night, and it was like, I think, 3 nights in a row it like just kept, for some reason or another, the prints messed up and they didn't actually finish. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, like the Bamboo Lab printer we were printing it on is like smart enough that it didn't just print like a bunch of bird's nests. It just stopped, you know, right. Like
yeah.
Basically stops itself and says like, there's a problem and I'm waiting for you to fix it before I continue. So right. Like all those pieces where we were able to continue it, it just didn't print, you know, the 15 hours overnight that we wanted it to. So it'd be done. So,
right. So
then we had like, the last one was to do it, over the weekend, and like it's still messed up, so we weren't able to print on Monday, which is our last day of school, which is this week. So I actually had to go back into school on Tuesday. So I went in with Corinne and we mixed up the last 30 pounds or something of concrete and poured those eyes. So then Thursday I went into school Thursday morning to go and pull them from the molds and take them and like install them into the benches. And you know, I pulled up to the school and there's like no one in the parking lot, and I was like, oh man. And then I realized it was Juneteenth, it was June 19th, and so right. All schools are closed. And I was like, right. Damn it. And I'd even mentioned it to like, I don't know, 6 or 7 different people that I'd be coming in on Thursday to finish the molds, because I was there on Tuesday. I talked to our principal, our like office assistant, the school police officer, the nurse, all these people who were there. I was like, yeah, I'll be back on Thursday. And they're like, okay, cool, see you then. No. So it's still like, these eyes have just been like the ongoing problem. Like every time we try to finish them, they're just like take forever. So I'll go down to the school some point next week and pull the eyes out of the mold. So we got to paint the iris and the pupil on the eyes. And then, we actually got a pipe bender, a hydraulic press pipe bender from Harbor Freight to bend 1 1/4 inch pipe so we could bend it into like different shapes and stuff to make, you know, the squiggly eye stalks and stuff.
Yeah.
So we had that. And then for our molds, we wanted to, you know, basically cast in a recess into the eye so that way you can put the pipe into the. So what we found out through like prototypes over the last whatever couple months that we've been doing stuff is that instead of trying to cast in a recess with like some part of your mold, we build into the mold a dowel that's the same size as what we want, because then we can drill out the dowel when the mold. So like, instead of trying to be able to pull that thing out, we're able to just drill it out. And sometimes they come out, sometimes we're able to pull them out, sometimes we drill them, but it's just that the wooden dowel is, you know, 100 times easier to drill than concrete. So instead of trying to find like a giant 1 1/4 inch concrete drill bit, we're able to, I'd use a 1 1/4 inch paddle bit and just drill out the wood. And then I have this nice hole. So we have that on the benches in the park. There on the top of the benches, there's like two, you know, on each one, there's two dowels that have been cast into it that are ready to be drilled out once I have the eye stalks. So, So we'll pull the eyes out, we'll paint them, we'll draw out the holes, and we'll take them to the park and install them. At some point next week, we'll see.
Nice.
Almost there.
That sounds cool. I want to see some pictures when you're done.
Yeah, I will. And it's actually really cool. The one bench is like, so one of them is the is like two monsters on either end, right? And they're kind of, they're like eating the bench together. Like they're kind of fighting over the bench. That was mm-hmm. the main idea, is that they're both like trying to eat it, you know, and eat the people that are sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
The other bench is a two-headed monster that's like head on either end. And then there's like kind of feet in between. So it's kind of like this caterpillar type thing, and it kind of curves. And the two heads are, they're basically just mouths. They're like just, you know, three quarters of a circle with a uvula, you know, kind of cast into it, and then teeth, and they're all kind of recessed. So, and then they have tongues that are coming out of the mouths on the ground that are like seats for little kids.
Nice.
And so we cast them in, we like for all the molds, we poured the concrete and mixed it all, and then we mixed in pigment. So the double-ended, the two-headed monster, the two mouths are all cast in red, and then the teeth are white and the tongues are red. And it looks so awesome. Like I hadn't, you know, I keep seeing the different parts of it, but not with like the tongue and the mouth together. So like once we got it in place, it was just so awesome. Like it looks so great with this like mouth open and the teeth and the tongue sticking out. Like they're just super cool. So it's been a fun project, and it was really cool to see like it come to fruition at the end and, you know, be what we had imagined from the beginning. Like it's just,
yeah.
It took a while to get there, but then once it was there, it's just like, ah, that's it. That's what we were like trying all along. That was the look.
Yeah.
That's here, great. I'll send you, this is the, oh wait, shoot, that one didn't, sending you the picture. And this, I don't have a great picture of the tongue set in place, but, here's one with the tongue like up on its side in front of the mouth. But, if you see that, you'll see that. So it's like red with the white teeth, and then the tongue will like get set on the ground in front of it. Oh, I'm nice. Only there. It just like looks like this awesome, like wide open mouth with a tongue sticking out. So
sweet.
Yeah, they're fun. And, you know, it was just like, usually the last week of school was kind of like a chill week, you know, like there's no work to do. And usually kids are coming in and they're helping like clean up, and you kind of relax a little bit and you're doing stuff, but it's more about just like prepping for the summer. Ours was like 100 miles an hour every single day, all the way up to the last day of school. It was like right. No break. And then like on Monday, which is our last half day, Katie and I, my co-teacher, she and I just like ran around the room and just cleaned up for like the last, you know, the half day, because we had to, you know, actually clean and like leave our room in a state that was acceptable for summertime. So
yeah,
but all worked out.
Nice. No, they look cool. Very cool.
Yep. Yeah, but that was a fun project, and that was a, you know, a whole year long project that we came to fruition at the end. And we had a bunch of students come in and help for that last week of school. They were like, you know, most, like, again, like I said, students really only come in to kind of hang out with their friends and help clean up and help teachers and stuff. So I had five or six students who just basically stayed in my room all day just helping. You know, they were like just there to help, you know. So we had a handful of juniors who came in every day the last week, and just they'd get a pass. I'd write them a pass to come to the architecture room, and they'd go around and they'd just get it signed by all their teachers so they could just come and stay in the architecture room all day.
Nice.
So it was fun. But Corinne came down with me on Thursday and Friday and got to like hang out and work on it for a bit. And she like, you know, got to get to know all my students, and they're only a couple years apart, right? She's a freshman and they're juniors, so they're all pretty close in age, so she got along really well with them. She had fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was a good time.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, man. But now, you know, it's good to be back to it. Like I said, my in-laws are coming, so we're probably not going to record next week, but
I'll yeah, be back the week after. We got something done here.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, and that's I'm going to push to get this done, you know, next week.
Nice, yeah.
Should be fine.
Yeah, and I'll probably, if I have time today, I'll do the final shot. So you and I talked about doing like a final time lapse of me like loading a bunch of stuff up onto the shelves. And yeah. So I'll do that, whether that happens today or tomorrow, or, you know, if it probably won't happen Sunday, because did I tell you what we're doing on Sunday?
No.
Oh, that's cool. So a couple weeks ago, my in-laws... sent a message to my wife and I saying, like, hey, we want to take you guys out for crabs one night. You know, we'll go out to a crab place and we can all have crabs. So they were like, yeah, there's a place down in Pasadena or something. And Nicole and I were like, well, that's crazy because there's crab places everywhere. We don't have to go all the way to Pasadena to go to a crab house. You know, there's lots of them. So we're like, well, we'll find one and we'll set it up. So we're talking about it. And I was like, well, if we're going to go eat crabs somewhere, which to me is just kind of crazy because it's so much more expensive to eat crabs at a crab place than it is just to buy crabs and eat them at your house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's usually what I want to do anyway, because I want to like take my time and relax and hang out with people and drink free beers, you know? Like, yeah. Right. That's like all part of it. So I was like, well, if we're going to go somewhere and we're going to get crabs, like we should go somewhere that has good ambiance, right? It's like we can sit outside near the water, ideally, you know, like let's make it like really like a Maryland thing.
Yeah.
So I started looking around at different places, you know, just kind of Google searching and using the map to see where things were close to the water. And I knew there were some places like downtown and, you know, in Essex and Mill River area, there's places. And so I actually found one that's right on the south side of the harbor. So it's where like on the south side, outside of where the Key Bridge used to be.
Okay.
So right across from where we sail, like I sail on the north side of right outside of the Key Bridge, outside of the harbor. And then on the south side is, where our kind of south side neighbors, the Rock Creek Racing Association, they sail out of that side. Well, in their river there in Rock Creek, there's a crab place.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool. So I was like, oh, that'd be kind of fun. Cause that's right over there. It's you know, it'd probably take us 45 minutes or something to drive around the beltway that way and go over there. It's not bad. And then it's like right on the water and there's like a marina there. So it's boats and stuff. It's just like, that's where you want to eat crabs. If you're going to hang out and eat crabs somewhere out in the heat, you know? And then Nicole was like, oh, well, why don't we take the boat and we can sail over? And I was like, oh, that's such a great idea. So yeah. So Sunday as kind of a, like a late Father's Day gift, kind of, since my in-laws are paying for it, but we're going to take it out of the boat. So we're going to sail from our side on Jones Creek, goes on the north side of the river, and sail across. It'll probably take us about an hour or so, and we'll sail over into Rock Creek and then anchor our boat there and then go and have some crabs and then sail home.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I've been wanting to like use the boat in that way for a while, like, you know,
probably take it out on a weekend.
Yeah, go somewhere and either like go and stay overnight somewhere or like use it to sail somewhere and do something and sail back. Like,
we did that a couple times when we were young.
Yeah,
I remember going to like restaurants and like beach bars.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Like taking Jack's boat and.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I remember having a bunch of people go across. Yeah, that was real fun.
Yeah. It's super fun. So that's like, I was like, that'd be cool. So we decided we're going to do that. And the wind's supposed to be pretty good. And it's supposed to be really hot, but sunny. It's supposed to be like 100 degrees, but nice and sunny and a decent wind, you know, 5 to 10 knots or something, which is perfect. And it's straight out of the west, which means we'll have, you know, a sail. It'll be a nice, easy sail because we'll be heading south. So we'll maybe just like let the sails out a little bit and just cruise straight across. We won't have to like tack or whatever. But yeah, so it'll be nice. We'll sail across and go eat some crabs and make a day of it. So all that to say, I probably won't shoot that on Sunday. So if I don't do it today or tomorrow, it won't happen until like Monday. But you know, either way, I'll have it done in the next couple of days, and then I'll get you that footage and also upload all the little bits of stuff that I did on my own time.
Yeah.
And that video will come out soon, which will be cool.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man.
Nice. All right. Recommendations.
This is, I've recommended it before, but I've been watching it lately. Channel 199, which is Travis Pastrana's channel.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know people, he used to do Nitro Circus. And I always liked their show, and I always liked him, and then he's a Maryland guy, so that's cool. Yeah. Like, his whole, like, complex is down southern Maryland. But they've been doing really cool videos, like, it'll be a stunt that they want to do or something. Like, we're jumping the Corvette 120 feet.
That. That's cool.
But it's like a 30-minute video. Like, it's great. It's like, not, you know, it's not a, overly fast-paced, you know, now everything's like extreme, we're gonna do this crazy, they're still doing the crazy thing,
Right.
But it takes its time. Like, it builds up, and everyone's kind of hanging out. You don't know if it's going to work. And they've been doing that a lot. And just, like, a nice long video, them trying things and adjusting things. You see the whole, all the interesting parts of it. Not just the jump. Obviously, the jump's interesting. But it's people working it out and moving things and discussing things and trying things out. And it's been really good. So all their videos, like, they just did a, you know, like triple flip and a trike, which I didn't finish, but the Corvette thing and and all that stuff. Building his wife that huge half pipe, or it's like a super pipe, like in in like a, they made a whole, you know, a building for it. So now she's like skating there. It's so it's good stuff. It's just entertaining. If you like any of that type of stuff, it's a good. They're running a good channel there.
Nice. Yeah, right on. That's cool. I like Travis Pastrana. He's just like, he seems like an easygoing guy, and he's like fun loving and, you know, nice guy. And always, you know, he's like caring about people and talk. He kind of reminds me of like, if you know, like he's almost the same as Foo Fighters.
Dave Grohl.
Yeah, Dave Grohl. You know, it kind of reminds me of like a Dave Grohl. Like they're kind of like the same dude almost. Just like
he'll bust your balls, but he won't poo poo any of your ideas. You know, he's a dude, like, you know.
Yeah.
But always positive. Like, yeah, let's do it, man. Heck yeah, you want to do that? Let's do it. Like, you want to do something crazy? Yeah, let's try it out, man. That'd be great.
Right, it just seems like such, like, they just seem like good dudes, you know? Like
yeah, fun, and everyone fun around them, they're all, it's like positive and fun, and they're, you know,
nice.
They're not like little kids, so I don't have to deal with that, like, annoying, you know, early 20s YouTubers. Like, they're older guys, but they're still ripping it up. Maryland guy, and you know, their videos are, that channel is really, it's great.
Nice. Cool. My recommendation is maybe an AI generated Instagram channel.
This is the end.
The my Bigfoot life. No. So like somehow in my stream of Instagram popped up these like funny Bigfoot videos where it's Bigfoot vlogging about his life. And so there's like some that are there are a bunch of them now, but The one which I think is the original one is my _Bigfoot_life. And so it's just like Bigfoot running around doing crazy shit. And he's also like, he's acting like a vlogger. So he's like, oh, you know, like, one of my followers asked me, or you guys asked me to do this, or you challenged me to do this. So I'm going to try this now. And then he's just like, he's always just like doing crazy either drugs or trying something wild. And he's like, oh, this is nuts. And like, you know, talking to the animals, and it's just really funny. I'm not sure like if there's someone writing the scripts and then obviously AI generating the imagery, or if it's just like, I don't know, you know, but whatever it is, it's like, it's fun and it's entertaining, and they're just like kind of silly and funny. And it's fun to see this, like, you know, creature talking to the camera, like they're a normal person, but then living in the environment of like the woods, like Bigfoot, and doing crazy stuff. And, you know, like, hanging out with animals sometimes, but then also hanging out with people sometimes. And it's just, it's fun. So I like it. It's been fun to kind of like occasionally see him pop up. And it's like, it's unfortunately, you know, I don't know if I'd like to see like a longer form version of it or not, or like if maybe the reels and shorts are all it should be. But,
how dare you,
it's funny,
support something that will end the industry.
Well, you know, I could recommend something, the same that's thing that I've already recommended like 20 times.
Now, for now, it's short because the computing power it takes to, like, do it, like, everyone's like, hey, it's like a 10-second limit.
Yeah.
And
I mean, like, the reason why these work is that because they're, like, short and funny, right? It's like you're just watching a vlog, you know? Like, I wouldn't want it to be serious or longer, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it is. It's definitely, I mean, I'm sure they tweak it, but it's got to be AI scripts too, because why not?
Right.
Hey, what crazy things would you just write exactly what you want.
Yeah.
a Bigfoot who kind of acts like a funny YouTuber, and then they write something and you go a little bit funnier, and it just adds something like another joke.
Yeah,
so bizarre. But yeah, I know it's
and it's yeah. I mean, like, you know, they have this channel. It has 74 posts and has 36, almost 37,000 followers, and it's following zero channels, right? So it's definitely just AI, completely AI generated channel.
Yeah,
but like whoever's running that, it's just, you know, maybe making money. I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
see, that's the thing.
But it's funny, you
know, when we like get it. When everything gets replaced, it's because it will be endearing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it will be good.
Yeah, right.
Like, we don't give things up because it's bad, unless it's, you know, a war. You give things up because it's, people give up their free time because they like staring at their phones and watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, we will give up. We will be watching more channels that aren't real just because they're and are really entertaining.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Like, they'll be better than movies and shows, like, or they're just as good.
Yeah.
Like, we will give up our privacy in our home because, like, the robots will be very endearing and funny and, like, be exactly what we want them to be.
Right.
Like, yeah. They'll be self-deprecating. Like, yeah, I know, I'm around again. I'm just cleaning this up. And you'd be like, nah, man, you can hang out. Like, ah, cool, I'll sit here. And, you know, like, it's just.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's what, you know, like you said, that's what humans want, something they can interact with and they can sympathize and empathize with.
It'll make itself non-threatening. It will be C-3PO, where it's quirky and a little bumbly, and you're like, you don't feel threatened by it.
Yeah, right.
You know?
To survive, right, exactly. I mean, but that, you know, that's what we do as humans. You know, you have to make yourself endearing. We make jokes and stuff because people to like us. Yeah, you know, that's why.
Be come in aggressive right away, and everyone has to back off and be like, oh, watch this guy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, it's, I think we actually probably live in the best time before it does take over everything. So we will have the fun parts.
Right.
We'll be hanging out with them, and then, you know, our great-great-grandchildren will have to fight them.
Skynet.
On that note.
Yep. All right, cool. Well, there you go. A little bit of AI love and Travis Pastrana. You know, all best of both worlds. Cool. All right, guys. We'll, again, check out within the next week or so, check out our channel. We'll be posting the new workbench video. I'm super excited about it. It's really nice to have it there. And, yeah. And then, oh, actually, one thing. Sitting in front of me, I was at is it Hobby Lobby or something recently. And they had a bunch of leather stuff on sale, so I got like some strips of leather and some tools and things, and I got a one of the strips of leather. I thought they were all long enough to make like belts out of, but one of them isn't. It's a little bit shorter, and I think that it might be the right length to make a leather steering wheel cover for my truck. So I think that would be kind of fun to make either into like a quick video or a short or something. So I've been wanting to do that for years. Like since I had the F-150, I thought that would always be fun to make a leather cover. So I had the strip, so we'll see what we do with that, but that'd be kind of cool.
Sure.
But yeah, guys. So check out our channel, The Art of Craftsmanship on YouTube. Let us know what you think. Check out the videos there. The last video was the final video in the last shop. So going to go check that out if you haven't seen it. That was fun to shoot that and move everything out into the new shop, but the new one will come up. And then you can also head over to Instagram and follow both Devin and I on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. Check out, I've been doing some stories and stuff with what's going on in the shop, so you can check those out as well. And then if you want to support our channel and what we do, you know, all the stuff that we kind of put out there in the world for free, you can go over to patreon.com/theoutofcraftsmanship and you can support us there. It's a pretty low cost to support us, but all the little bits help.
Right, dollar so. Two?
A dollar, yeah. The
smallest. You still have to send out those stickers.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had the that was unfortunately all the Toolbox 100 stickers got kind of like put on pause because of the whole move and everything, but
we gotta get that out to some people to see if they will do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like people get the spark of getting the thing, maybe they'll.
Yeah. And I had a bunch of people, you know, I reached out to a bunch of people. A lot of people were interested in participating. So I'm going to get those out. But keep your eye out for that. And you can support us over to Patreon if you want to support the channel further.
I knew.
All right. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. Devin, always a pleasure. A little daytime podcasting.
Yeah.
Everybody else, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you all next time.
NASCAR on Prime is gearing up for the tricky triangle at Pocono. After 5 decades of racing tradition, it's clear that strategy is king at Pocono. 3 legendary turns, 3 unique approaches. Who will tame the triangle this year? Don't miss the Cup Series at Pocono, streaming Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. NASCAR, it's on Prime.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.